Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
At forward, number five, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number nine, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Shope.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo. From Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, coffee count three. Let's see what happens. I'm three in.
Good luck with that.
I mean...
I was up until 1 in the morning last Thursday when I had all that coffee during the show. I told you it was going to be bad, and it was bad.
Thursday, was that... what is today? Tuesday?
Yeah. That was the last time we were together.
Thursday was game two of Rockets Houston, yeah. Portland.
I watched the whole thing.
Me too.
I'm awake. My wife came downstairs from the attic at midnight and was like, what is even happening? I'm like, I had coffee at like 4 o'clock. I'm wound up.
And I told you it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
And then I'm up there like, I'm really happy. I was really happy though to not be tired. Game four last night, I didn't even think about turning it on. Eric Wood, how does coffee work for you afternoons? Like, would you have had coffee this afternoon?
I just had a 16-ounce cup of Tim Hortons and about 30 minutes ago, and I haven't had Tim Hortons in a while, so that tastes pretty good.
So you think you'll be up late because of it, or how maybe will have no effect? What happens next?
No, I would imagine it won't have much of an effect.
Yeah.
But that's also I think I'm going to hit Elio's and Mulberry tonight. I want to go visit both of those places.
Yeah.
And so I'll be in a food coma, I'm sure.
There'll be some pasta and probably some red wine, and that'll probably offset the effects of the coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good
well,
plan.
You even impressed someone behind you with that, Eric. It's like we're in the booth again for a postgame show. Just noises. Eric, what's new in your career or anything? What's new in life?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just accepted two jobs in the last week, and my fall's about to get crazy busy, but I'm looking forward to it. And so I'll be doing ACC Network and also analyst work with the Bills and some added media work. I loved your tweet about taking off the
– Yes.
Yeah, the media content, whatever they announce it as.
Like, yes.
Come on, just –
Thank you. Rip the bandage right off of that arm with this
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
The media content team. As if any of us dreams of being on a media content team. Way to take all the fun out of it.
Right.
Color That's guy. Funny. Right? Color guy.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't know about the ACC Network gig, so that's awesome. Double congratulations. We knew about the Bills thing, obviously, and that's great. You must be pretty pumped. How tough of a sell was it for your wife? And because the family's young, and like that's a lot of running around.
Yeah, for sure. And I accepted the ACC gig first, and then when the Bills one came around, that was just something I couldn't say no to. And those jobs, you know, with Kelso moving on, right as I got some experience last year in the business, and it worked out perfect for me to slide into the booth, you know, it's just something I can't turn down. And Kelso was there for 13 years, and I don't know who would have taken the job if I didn't, but I didn't want to leave it to risk that that I would miss out on this opportunity. So Leslie is very understanding. She knows that I'm not made to sit in the house, and I'm going to have a very busy fall. But the best part about talking about football for a living and not necessarily coaching or playing is that's a 4 to 5 month big time commitment. There'll be some residual work in the off season, but much different than what these coaches do for a living.
Oh, for sure.
And players.
Right, and there's prep work, but still, like, you're working Saturdays and Sundays, really. Like, I mean, there'll be travel and stuff, but yeah, it's not a 16-hour a day, 7 days a week thing like coaching would be, for sure.
For sure, and a lot of these rosters in the NFL I'm pretty familiar with already, especially the Bills roster. A lot of the schemes in the NFL I'd either played against played against in practice or played for. You know, that's one of the beauties of playing for 7 head coaches in 9 years. I saw a lot of schemes, and a lot of guys came from different trees. And, you know, when you look around the league, there's not that many coaching trees. You know, there's Andy Reid offenses, there's Rex Ryan defenses, there's Jim Schwartz style defenses. And once you kind of learn the terminology and how they look, I'm not saying I'll be Tony Romo right off the bat in the booth, but you can get predictable, and you can get where you can start forecasting some stuff before it happens.
7 coaches in 9 years. Does that include the interim coaches? That rolled right off the tongue, Eric.
Yeah, I've talked about that a lot, you know, over the past couple years. But yes, that included the interim. So,
all right. That's what you should do.
Yes, and I also had 2 offensive coordinators get fired. So I truly played in, I think, 7 different offenses.
Right. So we know that from last year you were doing some work, some color commentary, and like sort of getting into that. What do you feel like you learned in those? I mean, you know, there weren't that many appearances, but you had some. And now you're full on into it here. You'll be doing games on Saturdays and Sundays. What did you find challenging about doing it? Maybe I'll start there.
So for my game I did with Fox last year, that was Iowa State and Kansas State. And the hardest thing about doing that game was not knowing anything about either team or any of the players in advance. So that was a lot of prep work. It was Thanksgiving week. That's why I got the gig, because nobody wanted to work the game on Thanksgiving week. And I get it. But that was my opportunity to slide in. And thank God, because that was something that got reviewed for ACC and for this Bills gig. But the hardest thing was prepping for the game and just learning about, you know, and these college rosters are so big, so you got to learn about so many players. But I told my wife after I did that game, I said, for the first time in a long time, I was challenged. I had to compete. I had to prep. I was talking ball with coaches and players, and that felt good. I got a real report after the game. So, you know, similar to me after a game, I would always get a grade from my offensive line coach. Well, now you get a grade from a producer, and it might not be a A, B, or C, but from the feedback, you get a pretty crystal clear view of what you need to work on and what you need to improve on. I also did an audition for ESPN, an audition for Fox, and then I did a couple pregame shows for a network called Stadium last year. And through that experience, I got some really good feedback. Some buddies of mine in the business I've reached out to, had them listen to the game I did, and but it's going to be a work in progress. And like anything, and I'm sure something similar you guys would say, is it takes reps, and the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. So me and Murph are definitely going to attack some practice games, because I don't want to go into the preseason and say, well, hey, we'll just, you know,
work out the kinks.
Yeah, we'll skirt our way through the preseason. You know, similar to how I was as a player, my philosophy on the preseason was you better prepare for those preseason games like you do a regular season game, because anybody can take a clip of you during a preseason game and show it, and that's who you are as a player. Well, same way as an analyst, and I understand I'm going to get better as I go, but I don't want to go screw up early on in this analyst gig and then become a YouTube sensation or something. You know, I want to come in and put my best foot forward.
With Eric Wood, who will be replacing Mark Kelso, one thing you should probably not do in this business is what I've done here and not say that yet, as we've been talking for like 8 minutes. But Eric will be replacing Mark Kelso, if you didn't know, on our broadcasts here of Bills games this season. About Mark, like, he was not ever – I was not really close with him, but I always admired and respected his real positive energy. Like, he – I think most people would say that was evident in the broadcasts. And, you know, like, I don't always look forward to the Bills thing when I'm down there, because I feel like a little bit like I'm an outsider. Like, everybody there is working for them, and I feel like I'm not. But Mark was always very – very cool. Like, he, I would say, was always like really friendly, and, you know, his positive nature was just, you know, obvious. So I wish him well.
Same here. Yeah.
I echo likewise. That. And me as well. And like I said, it worked out perfectly for me that as Mark was going on to focus on different things, his NASCAR team and whatnot, that I had just gotten out of ball and got a little experience, because I don't know if they would have hired me fresh out of the gate if I was just if this was my first year out and had no experience for them to review. I don't know if they would have, but to reiterate what you said, I have never heard anybody say a bad word about Mark Kelso, and to be around this team for so long as a player and then 13 years as a broadcaster and to have that type of reputation shows what type of man he is.
I'd like to say, too, your story about filling in on Thanksgiving, I think that that's a lot of people in this profession, that your first opportunity comes when, you know, it's someone can't do it or doesn't want to do it. Like, you sort of get bigger, and I'm not working the holidays. Like, I started in radio working on Christmas and on Thanksgiving, or even at the newspaper in Rochester when I was there, because that's when you have a chance. That's when, you know, there's an opportunity for you, and that's kind of cool that that happened for you, Eric.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the funny thing was, so I auditioned with Fox to be doing spot duty for them throughout the year, and they said, you know, inevitably you'll get a game, I'm sure, or you know, they were hoping to get me on, I think, like three games so I could get some experience and then maybe roll that into a deal for this year. Well, I sat around kind of on call all fall. Now, we still went to U of L games, and we went down to Tampa and visited Fitzpatrick. I came up here, I believe, for three games last year. So we traveled, but it was always one of those deals where, hey, Daddy might not be making the trip if I get the call, you know, on a Tuesday of that week and I have to start prepping for a game. And the calls just never came. And I talk a little bit through my podcast, shameless plug, that – you know, I had some anxiety last fall where I was just sitting there, and I know I'm not a stay-at-home dad, and I feel like I have these gifts, and I feel like I should be doing something, and I just wasn't. And so this year, it's going to be the opposite in the fall, but I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Eric Wood is on the Western Hotline with us. It was announced today that he is sliding into the radio broadcast booth on the Bills games here on WGR, alongside Murph, replacing Mark Kelso. So, how much will you, is your plan to like do Saturday games with the ACC network and then travel to either here or wherever the Bills are playing? Are you going to be around a little more than that, you think? Like, what's the lay of the land look like moving forward?
I'm going to have to kind of figure that out as we go. So my contract through ACC network is an appearance-based deal where that could be studio or booth.
Okay.
So some weeks I think I'll be in Bristol doing more studio stuff, and then other weeks I'll be doing games. I told them I'm good for whatever. I'll be in the booth. I'll do sideline. I will do studio, because I want to gain experience. I want to figure out what I like to do. And I'm just going all in this year. And you know, I kind of dipped my toe in last year, and like I said, I really enjoyed it. But it's hard to tell if you really enjoy something unless you go all the way in. So, there's going to be some crazy times. And I was actually talking to Sal earlier, or Chris Brown actually, about it earlier today. And he was saying he was doing AAC stuff for UB and then trying to get to Bills games. And there were some crazy times. And I'm sure that'll happen to me this fall. Like I said, this Bills gig was something that I could not turn down. So if that requires some crazy travel from a Saturday, from Raleigh, North Carolina, from NC State or something to here, so be it.
I don't know if you know Dave Pash, who is a play-by-play guy, college football, NBA, and I think of him for that, because he's got to go sometimes from, I mean, way more remote than Raleigh, like Lubbock or, I don't know, some Ames, Iowa, or someplace in Utah or something. He's got to be Arizona Cardinals the next day, or wherever they are. It could be in Miami, like wherever. He's got to make that happen, and that's got to be really interesting sometimes.
Yeah.
I have one more question about the job, and then maybe we can talk about the Bills and the season for a few minutes.
Sounds good.
You're a Cincinnati guy, and Lapham in Cincinnati, he has this job there. And Eric, like, every time I hear a Bengal highlight, he's talking all over it. Like, he's a fan in the booth, right? Would you say that? He's just like, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand what happened on the field because this guy is like super energy and like cheering during the play. So I wonder, like, if, I mean, you're aware of him. I wonder if like that's how you think you might do it, or would you definitely not be like that, or somewhere in between?
I hope to make a name for myself like Dave Lapham. That's a guy who, so I grew up in, you know, that's the voice I recognize with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I grew up a Bengals fan, and I've gotten to know him over the years. Been to a few Reds games with him in the same suite, and have a ton of respect for him. And when I think of radio color, Dave Lapham is the guy that comes to my mind.
Right.
You know, because as a player, I never really heard Kelso. You know, when I would watch a TV copy of a game, it would generally be to see if my calls got picked up on the TV footage. So I would maybe hear the announcers, the TV mm-hmm. announcers, but I would rarely ever hear the radio broadcast. And one of the big things I've heard in this business is just be yourself. And for me, that's probably generally a positive, probably a little bit more positive spin, positive energy. And then the good thing about the radio, too, is I'm doing Bills radio, so I don't necessarily need to be biased or
unbiased.
You don't
need to worry about it, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to be unbiased, right, so I can right. cheer. And I am a Bills fan. Even as I was out my first year last year, I wanted them to win every game. And, heck, if they go on and win it all without me, so be it. But I want the Bills organization to achieve. And so I'll be excited in the booth, I'm sure. And I want to come across as a fan of the team because people tuning in the Bills radio broadcast want to hear that.
Yeah, okay, right? Like, it is a different job. The two jobs mm-hmm. you'll have are very different from each other in that
Correct.
Way. Who's listening? So, yeah, that makes sense. Good. All right, so here we are, Eric. Like, I think, and I'll be interested in knowing what you say about this. I mean, it's, in terms of talking with the fans, and as we do on a regular basis, I think, like, a larger-than-usual number of Bills fans, or percentage, are expecting them to be good. Like, that this is now it's going to happen. And I think also sort of nationally or objectively, it isn't like that. I mean, the over-under hasn't changed at all. It just looks like maybe any other year from the outside. So do you agree with that sort of observation, and which is right?
Yeah, time will tell which is right. I tend to be on the Bills optimism train, so I'm probably with most of the fans there. I love the pieces that they added this offseason. They added a lot of guys that have experience in this league, especially up front. I expect to see better things from the offensive line this year, better play all around. I defended them even quite heavily on your show last year. You know, being in the first year of an offense is tough. Okay, well, now the whole group's in the second year of an offense, the whole offense in general. Add some pieces for Josh Allen. I really liked what I saw from Josh Allen post-injury. Even if he wasn't putting up 350 yards through the air and they didn't win every game, I liked some of the small advancements in his game, the quicker release time on some things, which is a sign of making pre-snap reads when you can hit a guy right off the snap with the ball. Some third down conversions that were right past the sticks with a great accurate ball. It's very well known how much arm talent Josh Allen has. You know, now it's going to be about getting on the exact same page with these receivers all through OTAs, and I'm really excited about that. And then I always have faith in a Sean McDermott coach defense. Those guys are going to play hard. Even from when he was the defensive coordinator in Carolina, their film just looks a little bit different when they play for Sean. Guys love playing for Sean McDermott, and a lot of it comes down to how much he respects the players, gets everyone to buy in and whatnot. But, you know, a Sean McDermott coach defense, like I said, I have a lot of faith in.
There are a lot of changes to your old position group. I mean, not just the center, but the line overall. I mean, it's possible with Deion Dawkins, it's conceivable he even moves inside. I'm not predicting that'll happen, but it could happen with the guys they've added. You could have five different guys at all five positions, four of whom weren't even on the team last year. How about Mitch Morse? We know he's banged up here to start this OTA session, but the Bills invested heavily in him. How familiar are you with him as a player, Eric?
You know, I have a lot of respect for his game. You know, I think he's one of the best, if not the best, center in the NFL, talent-wise, play-wise. He's young in his career. He's a little dinged up right now. Hopefully he'll be get back by the end of OTAs. I spoke with him today after practice, going to grab dinner with him tonight. You know, I'll do anything I can for him to pour into him, but I'm very excited about the center position being being manned by a guy without any competition around him this year. That gives the center, like I had for most of my career, the strongest voice in the room, and that's what you need from your center position. What they didn't have last year when you had two centers in competition, then neither of them has a voice. So really excited about that. When you got Josh Allen on his rookie deal and still a manageable contract, then you could pay someone a lot of money to be right in front of him, to pour into him, a guy who's played a bunch of ball, a guy who's super talented and is not going to be back in his face. You know, those are big – that's a big deal for a quarterback. Even if Josh Allen is 6'5", he never wants a guy in his lap. So to put a guy super talented right in front of him is a big deal. I like the pieces they added, that they added a lot of guys with experience in the NFL, guys that have played in games, which nowadays is a huge deal, because when you draft a kid coming from college – it's hard to tell which guys are going to be good because their offenses are so much different. A lot of these guys aren't used to playing with their hand in the dirt, and it takes them more time to develop. And I like them adding some experienced players around Josh Allen, second year in the offense, add some weapons on the outside. Well, none of that matters if you got guys in his lap all day.
And acknowledging that we never really know this, but the schedule looks favorable to the Bills. And, you know, when we were talking in your playing days, Eric, maybe we should wrap it up here after this, but we were talking in your playing days, you know, like most players, you don't want to really say anything inflammatory about the other team. Here, like, you start with the Jets and the Giants and the Bengals. Like, I think the Bills would really want to maybe win at least two of those games just to feel like, you know, they're on a level above really maybe all of those teams.
Yeah, that'd be huge. Yeah, you start off with Jets and Giants, you go back-to-back to New York. Yeah, those would be two huge ones to get. You know, knock out two of your road games. If you can get two wins there, that would be absolutely huge. It would absolutely be huge from a confidence standpoint as well to get rolling like that. I know in 2017 when we broke the playoff drought, we started off that year hot, and it's amazing. You get a little confidence, and you start expecting to win every week. It goes a long way.
All right, Eric. Well, congratulations. If we didn't say that, I really I'm excited for you. I'm excited that I'll get to see you a little bit.
Right, same here.
Down yeah. there. So great to hear the news today.
And really glad you won't be sitting around just waiting for your phone to ring all fall.
No, absolutely. Me too. And I appreciate that, guys. And Shope, you said that Kelso always made you feel welcome. Hopefully I make you feel even more welcome with the relationship we've had over the years.
Thank you.
But it's always a pleasure coming on with you guys. I feel like the 20 minutes goes by a whole lot quicker with you guys than anybody else.
That's very nice.
Nice of you to say that, man.
Have a great time at all those restaurants, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.